The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're listening to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. On today's episode, it's day three of our 12 days of X-Men countdown, and we're talking about X-Men: The Last Stand. Stay tuned! Hey everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. I am today's host, Jackie Jennings. On this podcast, we are counting down to the release of Dark Phoenix by revisiting all the X-Men movies, one day at a time. Every day, we are tackling a different movie. We're re-exploring the plot. We're talking about our favorite moments. We're discussing its place in the ever-expanding, or contracting, depending on what theory of physics you believe, universe of X-Men movies. So we're just going to jump right in. Today, I am joined by two lovely co-hosts.
Aww.
Yeah. Juan Cadavid and Jordan Zacharin. We also have a fourth person. Well, not a person. We have Warvis. Warvis is our little computer. What do we call it? AI computer? What do we call Warvis?
Sentient.
Our sentient.
It's not the only one with big words, Jordan.
The singularity happened and the result is Warvis. And he's going to give us our little last on recap, and it's going to set up the movie for us, where we are in the timeline.
In the events leading up to X-Men: The Last Stand, military scientist Colonel William Stryker had initiated a plan to kill all mutants on Earth by harnessing the power of Cerebro and using his mutant son to trick Professor X into killing all of the mutants he had sworn to protect. The X-Men managed to turn the tide, but were unable to escape the compound where William Stryker was attempting his mutant genocide because of issues with the dam flooding and the X-Jet being unable to take off. Jean snuck off the jet and telepathically wished the team goodbye. She held back the water and raised the jet above it as flames erupted from her body until she let go and allowed the flood to crash down upon her, presumably killing her. Soon after, the X-Men gave the president Stryker's files, and Professor X warned him that the humans and mutants must work together to build peace. Back at school, Xavier, Cyclops, and Wolverine remember Jean, and Xavier begins to hold a class. Meanwhile, a phoenix-like shape rises from the flooded Alkali Lake.
Thank you, Warvis. So we'll talk about the plot. So this starts with it's a flashback. We're in the past.
No wrinkles.
No wrinkles. Thick eyebrows. That's how they show.
Yeah. Black hair.
Yeah.
Their eyes are so weird. They had not mastered that facial.
And their upper lip is weird, too, when they speak.
True. Yeah. But the eyes, they look like... You know what happens when you're younger? Your eyes are like 50% smaller. That's what the VFX people decided.
That's what they thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't quite there yet with the like realistic face CGI.
They should have just done makeup.
Yeah, they probably should have just... Also, I feel like those like Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart are both sort of ageless. So yeah, I would have bought it with just a wig.
Yeah.
Just throw a wig on.
Give him a pompadour.
Give him a little pompadour.
I feel like McKellen's been the age he is now forever.
Forever.
So it's like in this one, he just looks like... So if now he's 78, in that flashback, he looks 74.
Yeah.
It's true.
And the ages, I think, in all of these movies are so... They don't completely make sense that I would have bought. Yeah.
They should just put them in like jog suits because of the 80s.
Some jog suits, some Just for Men, and we'd be there.
Yep.
But yeah, we see them essentially recruiting Jean, taking her to the school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. We see young Jean Grey. It's not Sophie Turner. It's a different young Jean Grey.
Was Sophie Turner born at that point?
Probably. Yeah, she was probably born, but she was probably like... She was probably the right age. They should do George Lucas and go back and re-edit it and put Sophie Turner's face on that little girl.
They should.
Take Sansa's face.
That'll look good.
It'll look really good. Okay, so we see Angel trying to use a cheese grater to saw off his wings.
Warren? Son, is everything all right? What's going on in there?
Nothing, I'll be right out!
Come on, you've been in there for over an hour. Open the door. Warren.
1 second!
Right? He's using like a lemon zester.
It did really well. Yeah. There's really no evidence other than like some blood.
Also, there's not enough blood in what he's doing.
True.
Yeah.
There's just like little, like, it looks like somebody cut themselves shaving.
Well, the question is.
And my
is,
man just literally cut wings off his body.
The question is, how big were the wings? One. Two, how much blood do wings carry?
That's a great question. My impression of this was that they were just starting to poke out. And sure. He was trying to file them down. Okay. It wasn't that he cut off full wings.
There were full feathers, though.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been like little nubs.
This makes me sick, thinking about someone shaving wings off their back.
I would have been so pumped if I grew wings. I would have shown everyone.
Ew. No. No. You wouldn't have, would you?
If, like, in this day and age, if I grew wings, that would be pretty cool.
In this day and age.
If I was
yeah,
like.
Yeah, what changed, like,
if I was
sociologically?
Like a, no, no. If I'm like a 13-year-old and I hate myself, but then I grow some badass wings.
All you want when you're 13 is to look like everybody else. It's to just be, like, normal.
Well, I wanted to, like, be taller, but, like, I would have taken wings.
Oh, God.
Especially if they were useful.
Yeah. I mean, he's just the way he's sawing them off with a zester. Yeah. It's really bad.
Shouts to that kid because he actually did it. That little bit he got.
He did.
He killed. Like, he cried and
yeah.
I felt the pain.
It and was sad.
His dad walking in on him is like, and he's in this shame. It's like, that's basically Brett, you know, the director saying, yeah, this is what it's like to be caught jerking off when you're 13.
Yeah. There's a lot of like mixed metaphors in this movie where like at one point the ex, I mean, we can talk, it doesn't matter. But yes, this scene did feel like he walked on, his dad walked in on him. Jerking off,
yeah.
Except it's in this movie, it's sawing off your mutant wings.
Or he jerks off feathers come out.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, I would hide.
Choking the chicken?
Yeah, that was something you'd hide.
No judgment, no body shame, but
choking
if,
the chicken.
If you, yep, if it's feathers, you hide that. Okay, great. So we're like 0.1% of the way through the plot of this movie. We have talked about these scenes longer than they lasted.
Or they probably were shot or thought about.
Yeah, 100%. So we get to the present and we've got the vaccine that neutralizes or completely gets rid of the what they call the X gene.
A major pharmaceutical company has developed a mutant antibody, a way to suppress the mutant X gene.
Suppress?
Permanently. They're calling it a cure.
Well, it's basically like if you're a mutant and you've got like whatever your mutant power is, they prick you with it and you just lose it all. Like,
yeah.
You just lose all of your powers right away. Whatever physical manifestation there is, whatever ability you have, just gone. No medicine works that fast, not even Advil.
No.
Right?
But this vaccine is instantaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's because they have a little mutant named Jimmy, and his mutant power is that he neutralizes whatever mutant abilities you have. Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
You don't know much about it. He's being held on Alcatraz, though.
He's being held on
the
Alcatraz.
Only prisoner there.
Yeah. He's the only one. He's being held on Alcatraz. They've made a vaccine and are announcing it like, you know, this is a good thing. We can get rid of it. And I got to say, Magneto, I was on board.
Yeah.
I thought he was right. And I don't remember the historical context. Like, were we supposed to think off the bat that Magneto's wrong? But when he's like, hey, guys, I know how this goes.
Right.
I mean, he's a Holocaust survivor. I was like, yeah, I think Magneto is correct.
Magneto's always right until like 90%, the movie's like 90% done. And then you're like, oh, you want to murder people instead of just like getting rid of the bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, was that not clear?
Did you not understand?
I thought I was clear.
Yeah. Well, he weirdly has his like form of eugenics. That,
right.
Yeah.
But like he's pushed into it. Right. Like he's like, all right, I can be chill. We can live amongst each other. And then when he gets provoked, he's like, you know what? You're done, humans.
Yeah.
So look, I'm not saying he's a good guy, but they're really barking up the wrong shoe with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They really hit Magneto where it hurts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like pretty on board for him wanting to be like militantly opposed the idea of vaccinating. And he was right. He's like, they're going to weaponize it. They're not going to let this be voluntary. And he's 100% right, which we see when he's assembling more mutants to join the Brotherhood. He recruits Callisto. He's got Pyro with him. And they shoot Mystique with the little vaccine gun.
I'm sorry, my dear. You're not one of us anymore.
And then she's just like, and she's just peace.
Yeah, and then she's just
so cold.
Discarded.
Yes. So I thought this was bullshit. I think Magneto's a little more ride or die than that.
He really was like, that's when you see it. Like, he seems like chill. He works with Xavier a lot. And then you see him just being like, oh, you took a bullet for me. Well, too bad. I liked you. Bye.
Carry on.
Yeah. Also, did we know up until this point that Mystique is definitely naked?
That's another
at all
question.
Times?
She's always naked.
Yeah.
It's just that she's blue and has, like, shit covering her privates. But
conveniently,
then,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually part of her private. It's not covering it.
Is it? Those, like, vein vines are genitals?
I mean, yeah, they're not, like, close. I'm not saying they're genitals, but they're part of, like, if they're on the genitals, they're part of it, no?
I don't know.
If they're naturally there. They're not, like, a growth.
We don't know. I guess Mystique is always naked, part of her. Because mm-hmm. when it becomes Rebecca Romijn, she's also naked.
Yeah, they made a judgment call there because in the cartoon, she has a dress.
Yeah.
And in the comics, she also has clothing, I believe.
So well, she doesn't really.
Somebody made a judgment call in the franchise and was like, you know what? She's going to be blue. Let's just put her naked.
Who was the director on this?
I think it was Brett Ratner.
All right, cool.
Well, yeah.
I wonder what was going through his mind.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
So Mystique is toast. She's human now. She gets shot with the dart. Magneto has been proven correct.
She still looks like a model, so she's going to be fine.
She dies like shortly after.
Mystique?
Yeah.
She doesn't die.
Oh, whatever.
She doesn't die. Yes, but later we see her talking to, I think, like Congress or something.
Right.
Telling them, or not Congress, because she's telling them where Magneto is. And then Jean is up. Jean is alive. Sort of. She's sort
twist.
Of Jean.
Yep.
Twist.
Bad Jean.
Yeah. Scott finds her at Alkali Lake. And she disintegrates him.
Yeah.
Because she's Dark Phoenix now, sort of.
Kind of.
The Phoenix, she's unleashed the Phoenix powers.
At least she doesn't have to wear those glasses anymore.
I know.
Those are bad.
Yeah.
Very 2006 or whatever.
The glasses are kind of a bummer.
They were Oakleys. That's just all it was. It was just product
placement. They were just unbranded
Oakleys. It's legit just Oakleys.
Yeah.
Because in the new ones, I'm pretty sure he's rocking Ray-Bans.
They are?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they are. So that's all.
Yeah.
All product placement.
Sure. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oakleys were, that's a real time capsule. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are Oakleys still, does that still exist?
Oh, they exist. And they're still expensive as fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're
like
made out of fucking
and
surfboards. I have no idea why they're expensive.
Surfboard glasses are well
every
known
time
to
I
be
put
expensive.
Them on, I just look like I.
Is it still surf. The wraparound style?
Yeah, like the tight.
Yeah, like super like circular and, you know, I'm the dude who drives a truck, but I'm cool because I wear Oakleys.
Cool. So Jean is up. Scott gets disintegrated. They take her back to School for the Gifted, where Charles Xavier basically confesses to Logan that he has put up mental blocks in Jean's mind to keep the Phoenix power
right.
from taking over.
When she was a girl, I created a series of psychic barriers to isolate her powers from her conscious mind. And as a result, Jean developed a dual personality.
Jean wakes up. Her and Logan almost have sex. She takes his belt off with her mind, which is insane.
Did he feel bad about it? Like, I know, like, my buddy just died, but I'm going to, you know, step in.
Very
Not
tired.
Everyone heals as fast as you, Logan.
Yeah.
So good.
Hearts heal fast.
Yeah.
Also, I love when, in all these movies, but like, I love when they use their mutant powers to do just mundane, regular, everyday things. Because that's what I would do. If I had wings, I'd probably use them for some dumbass shit like holding me up while I'm on the train standing and like reading a book.
Yeah.
That'd be so obstructive.
Just keeping a little
so
balance.
To see a telekinetic woman use it to like undo his belt because she wants to, you know, get down. Like, you know, in that moment, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I think I'd do the same thing. You know, I'd probably put deodorant on with like my mind instead of my arms.
Yeah,
I'm fucking lazy.
You would just use it as like another appendage kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fucking lazy.
Yeah, same.
So whatever mutant power I get, I'm using that shit to just be more lazy.
I do like that because it is. Yeah, that's a good point. There's like some world building there where like, she's using her powers. It's not world building. It's like playing that character's game or whatever.
Yeah.
They almost.
You know what's weird? Why didn't she just take all of his pants off with her
All
mind?
Of his clothes.
Yeah.
I guess that would be, I don't know what that would be.
She was probably trying to keep it classy.
Yeah. True. Banging on the lab bed.
Yeah.
Lab table.
Right after you killed your ex.
Yeah.
Did he know that she had killed him already? He did, right?
Well, he's just gone. I don't think they know it was her.
Because there's a part I remember.
He leaves,
He asks, he's like, Sky, and then I think she tells him he's gone.
It's after, though.
It's after.
He's like, because he sees her, the Dark Phoenix, happening, like her face change, and he's like, where's Scott? Where's
there
Scott?
After the fact.
Where's Wallace String? That's all I can think about. No fans of The Wire.
Yep.
Great. So Wolverine almost gets his wish. but he can't because she's Dark Phoenix.
Sure.
And then she runs to her childhood home where they have a showdown. Magneto's trying to get at her. Charles Xavier's trying to get at her. She disintegrates Charles Xavier as well. Yeah.
Don't let it control you.
She was rough.
Vaporizes him.
Yeah.
With like Wolverine and Storm like looking in the next room, like through like a door is like peeled open a little bit because they also trying to like stop them.
Wolverine's like clawing through the walls trying to get to her, but there's too much like wind or something.
Yeah, there's too much energy. Yeah. We also haven't talked at all about Rogue. Rogue's plot line that she wants the vaccine.
Right. She wants to be able to do what Jean Grey does.
Yeah.
Get down.
Almost have sex.
Yeah.
Also, like, Iceman, who's supposed to be her boyfriend, is pretty much cozying up to Kitty Pryde.
Yeah. Ooh. The hell is that?
I mean,
although I guess if you're like,
if you're a teenager and the person you like is like, I literally cannot touch you, you might be like, you know what? Let's be friends. Send me an IM anytime.
It's so
sad. Send me an instant message. And we will go from there.
I get both sides.
I just feel like I did have this thought watching it. There has to be some. It's like, can't they just get like a full body condom? Like, why can't
like
they?
Like acidic juice?
I don't know. Just
the sheet.
Figure out something. Like, there has to be a way. I just feel like they didn't explore any avenues.
Charles Xavier can control people's minds. He can find a way to, like, you know, get some rubber.
Yes, let's put a little.
What you're saying is, like, did you try?
Did you try?
Right.
Put a little mental power behind this, because she's wearing gloves.
Maybe she wasn't that into him, or he wasn't that into her.
I don't think he was that into her, because they've been selling that whole storyline since the second one.
Yeah, just try.
He's like, I don't know what you're doing with the white hair up front. That was a mistake.
I know, but I love that look.
I'm just saying he might have thought that.
Yeah, he was just like, he's basic. Uh-oh.
I feel him. They can't kiss. They can't hold hands.
I guess. I'm just saying.
Like, I feel like.
They didn't really try.
At some point, you gotta move on. That's true.
If you're
maybe in the bonus features they tried.
Yeah, we don't know that they didn't try.
We
assume.
Yeah.
Well, I would love some outtakes that he's just in a full body condom and he's just like, nope, can't do it.
It's like, this sucks. I can't. So yeah, he's sort of like having a little emotional affair with Kitty Pryde. Rogue wants the vaccine presumably so she can touch him, but also because she probably just wants it. That's pretty isolating. What's happening? Oh, we can just jump, right? Like, they fight. Everyone fights. We get to the last fight.
Right.
Great. Logan kills Jean.
He really jumped.
I jumped.
That's a big jump.
Can we
take a pause?
But here's the thing. What'd we miss?
We missed recognizing and discussing Kelsey Grammer as Beast.
Kelsey Grammer as
I mean, if we're
going to
talk about the casting in this movie in general, you could just fucking hit that laundry list, like, now.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer as Beast. Got to start.
Okay.
Somebody obviously was like reading the comics and watching the show and going, man, Beast is athletically inclined. He could hang upside down. He could do somersaults. He could jump high. He could run fast. Let's get the most unathletic actor I could think about, Frasier, because he sounds smart in Frasier.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. Where in the Frasier time? Is Frasier on TV at this time?
I believe so.
Frasier was in production between September 1993 and May 2004. X-Men The Last Stand was released in May 2006, but began pre-production in 2004. So there may have been a smidge of overlap, but definitely not coinciding.
Wow.
Full disclosure, not a Frasier guy.
That's fair.
That's fine. You said that like we might all, like one of us might flip the table. Like,
I don't
that's
know.
Fine.
Not sometimes to, like, you don't know who you're hanging out with, you know?
Frasier's fine.
I like that
I was
Beast.
Friends the whole time.
Beast like looks him. Like Kelsey Grammer. It's not just the voice.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. A giant blue Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I know like he was winning, you know, Best Actor Emmys at the time, but I don't think anyone was like, you know what? I'd love to see him suit up in a superhero movie.
I don't think Kelsey Grammer knew that he would be blue.
Right,
like, I think they CGI'd. I imagine that he went to the premiere, watched the movie, and was like, where was I? And they're like, you were Beast. That was you, but we made you blue.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I can see that.
I love when he's wearing a suit over his fur.
It's so funny. I mean, it's just.
It's like when you see dogs in clothes. It's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
And it's cute.
It's cute.
So
it's
you
so
see
weird.
Him in a suit in front of Congress. You're like, aw.
Aw, Beast.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer's in it. Juggernaut. We didn't talk about Juggernaut.
We're at this point in these movies where, like, they look good. You know, they're not as visually good as they are now, but, like, they look pretty good. But he's wearing, looks like a I don't know, a stone and tinfoil helmet.
Yeah.
They just like found an old costume for him.
It's not good.
And it's, I love Vinnie Jones. Snatch is one of my favorite movies ever, and he's awesome in everything he bit plays because he's never like led a movie. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Sorry, Vinnie. So love you.
He's listening.
For some reason, they were just, let's give him a British accent. It's fucking Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody probably raised their hand. They were like, no, don't worry about it. Somebody's going to say, oh, yeah, he doesn't have a British accent.
Yeah. It didn't matter, though.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
It was fine.
And then the reason they probably put him in there was just to get that line in of, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch, coming off of the sensational viral video online. And it's, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch, said by a British person with a British accent, which took kind of all the air out of it.
All right, does that feel, can we skip to the fight? I feel we've sufficiently just...
I mean, there's a pretty big battle in the woods.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Like, the big battle in the woods is pretty big.
And my favorite line of the movie happens in this.
Okay, but don't say what it is yet, because that's a whole segment.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Hang on to that.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, like the X-Men are trying to sneak up on like where some of the Brotherhood mutants are, and they're apparently in like a forest with the highest trees known to fucking man.
Yeah, I forgot Multiple Man. Sorry.
And yeah, Multiple Man is in it, which the one thing, again, let's touch upon the good shit. The one thing that the plot did give is an opportunity for us to see more mutant, more X-Men characters that we've seen before. So Multiple Man was one.
Multiple Man's cool. I take that back. And that those effects are cool.
This movie is so like kind of small in scope, though, right? Like for a Dark Phoenix story, it kind of takes place in like the woods, in the suburbs, on Alcatraz, and kind of that's it.
Yeah,
it was interesting to me.
We all,
for the most part,
they could have done anything. It was all like their backgrounds are CGI.
Yeah, they could have done anything. Small. Shoot the whole thing on green screen.
Yeah,
they probably did.
They probably did. Yeah, that probably wasn't even real woods.
Kelsey Grammer was fully in blue makeup, though.
Well, we think. I still think he wasn't. I think they'd not tell Kelsey. All right, so we get that big battle. We get the final big battle where Wolverine has to kill Jean because she's like tearing the world apart. Magneto gets shot with the vaccine. It's kind of all, someone else dies too.
I know that Juggernaut runs into the wall because Kitty Pryde's like, who's hiding, bitch? And then he runs at her and they just like, moves to the side.
Yeah.
He just hits his head. Dickhead, right? Yeah. Sorry.
Don't you know who I am? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
I'm the wrong guy to play hide and seek with.
Who's hiding, dickhead?
He looks kind of like his head's a dick, so it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Almost like the writer at that point just took a break and then somebody just came in. Like his bro just walked in and was like, hey, I'll write this dialogue for you.
I'll do this scene, don't worry about it. So that all happens. We get the end of the movie. Storm is in charge of the school because we think that Charles Xavier's still disintegrated. But then in the final scene, we find out he's not, probably. I mean, we know he's not.
And Magneto can touch a chess piece.
Yes, and Magneto is probably fine. And also that Rogue got the vaccine, but it's unclear if her and Iceman are what is going on. He's just sort of bummed that she got the vaccine,
yeah,
right?
She's like, look, you gave up on me. I'm going to find someone else, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's and like, guess what? Now I could touch people, motherfucker.
That's like when you like, you know, you're kind of like a loser in high school and like, people ignore you and then you come back home to your hometown and you're hot and they're like, oh, hey. And you're like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It didn't happen to me, but I imagine that's what it would be like.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm talking speculatively.
Never went back to high school.
Okay, all
right. I'm enrolled right now in high school.
That's a recurring nightmare I have.
Once again, I'm going to touch on some good shit.
Please.
That final battle has a lot of really cool moments within the battle. Like, I like the whole Colossus and Wolverine tag team, should they do, and they throw each other. They did it in the beginning as well. I always reference X-Men Legends for fucking PS2 because like, that's where I fucking love that game, and you do that shit all the time.
Yeah.
So it's good to see it on screen, like, X-Men working together and using their powers in tandem. I also got a call out when that dude with the prongs just hugs the woman and kills her.
Calm down, calm down. Everything's gonna be okay.
So I think somebody really sat there thinking, how can we get this guy a kill?
Yeah.
Where it could come off.
It was creepy.
As somewhat believable.
It was also creepy because like he's like, oh, it's all good. It's okay. It's okay. And you're like, that's too real. You know, like a man, like a woman trusting a man and then him just literally stabbing her with his body.
Stabs her.
He also has a moment in that movie where they're all like trying to intimidate. I forgot what scene it is. They're intimidating people with their powers. So one person like Callisto does like, you know, the fasting, like I could do this.
Oh,
yeah. And then the other woman does like, I could do this. And she slaps her hands on like the fucking wind shit comes out of her hands.
Yeah.
Like, cool. And then he just goes, oh.
Yeah, and then just spikes come out of his face.
Yeah.
It's good for close combat, though. You have different weapons for different reasons.
Yeah, if fucking, if you're a hugger and like.
I mean, you can just run up to someone, you don't have to hug them.
And
if
you're
like covered in spikes, if you run up to someone and just like bump into them, it doesn't have to be a full embrace.
Yes.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
But let's each say what our favorite moments are. Juan, it sounds like maybe...
I think I hit all three of mine, so my responsibilities are...
Those are your bright spots. I think my favorite part is... when Magneto is rallying everybody, because that felt actually like cool and analogous to the real world, when he's like,
they wish to cure us, but I say to you, we are the cure. The cure for that infirm, imperfect condition called Homo sapiens.
That's really good. I always like to see, whenever Wolverine gets stabbed or shot or anything, I like to see the healing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that always like gets me. I'm like, nice.
It's cool.
As if like I don't... is it going to happen this time? Oh, yeah, it does. It happens every time.
Yeah.
I also like... So this is the one I saved.
Okay.
When they're in the forest or in the woods, and Wolverine's there, and suddenly Magneto shows up.
I know the smell of your adamantium from a mile away.
Or he's like... And also, I also like on the bridge. They knock down the Golden Gate Bridge, and he's like...
Charles always wanted to build bridges.
And they knock it down.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yo, who wrote this?
Zach Penn and... Yeah.
I forget who, but Zach Penn, yeah.
Yeah, and
David
Simon
Benioff?
Kinberg. No, it was like the big guns.
This isn't the Benioff one.
I know, that's...
Oh, yeah, wait. Warvis.
Yeah, Warvis.
Who wrote this?
X-Men The Last Stand was written by Simon Kinberg and Zach Penn.
Zach Penn. Simon Kinberg and Zach Penn. Well...
And one of their brothers when they fell asleep and finished writing the movie.
Their twin. The twin. We gotta say where this is in the X-Men timeline, which is maybe tricky because there's a flashback, but so far it's pretty linear.
Yeah.
The first three are pretty much one
after
the other.
And they reference like events from the previous one, because Scott's upset because Jean technically died at the end of 2 at Alkaline Lake, where the end of that movie took place. So it's pretty, 1, 2, 3 are pretty linear, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this, like James Marsden, who is ageless, like many of the Avengers.
Yes.
You know, I think he was good as Cyclops in the first two movies, so it wasn't a waste. And not that they can't put someone back in superhero movies now. I think the time is, you know, expired. But it's too bad we lose him at the beginning of the third movie.
Because
I think he's very good.
I think he knew what was happening.
Well, I think it's like...
Kill me.
I think he would have made the movie better. And I wish, you know, we hadn't used him so long ago in superhero movies, if he's not going to do it again.
Yeah.
He's a very funny guy, and I feel underutilized.
He is very funny.
Yeah. 27 dresses.
Yeah. I was thinking 30 Rock, but also 27 dresses.
Wait, what were you thinking?
He's 30 in 30 Rock. He's in the last, like, two seasons.
I've never seen that show.
That's okay.
You work here.
I know.
At 30 Rock.
I never seen that.
You don't, do you watch NBC Nightly News every night?
Yeah, with Lester Holt?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I pulled that out of my ass.
All right, so Warvis, I feel like it's fairly obvious based on how the three of us feel. But Warvis, do us a favor and tell us where this movie lands in the listing of all X-Men movies so far.
In Sci-Fi Wire's official ranking of the X-Men movies, X-Men The Last Stand ranks 11 out of 11. Woof. Just behind X-Men Origins Wolverine.
So The Last Stand is also the last movie on the list.
Ooh.
How do you guys feel about that?
I feel like that's on par. It was either between that and Apocalypse.
I think that that makes sense, but also it does show, as rocky as kind of the production of these movies have been over the years, and stop and start, and you know, making them at different times and on the timeline, for this to be the worst movie in your franchise, that's pretty good. It's not like MCU good, right? But like, for this to be the worst thing, this is like watchable. It's not great. It just looks like no one's having fun in it, is a thing.
I think that this movie is better than the worst MCU movie.
Yeah.
So this is the last ranked of all these movies.
But it was a fun time talking about it.
We had a great time, the three of us. Right?
And they
about
had
it.
Bright spots.
Yeah, like, this is not a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the worst shit since, like, it's not Punisher.
Right.
You know?
Are you talking about the Netflix series?
No.
I would
Thomas
never.
Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane.
Oh,
or
I was
Ray
like,
Stevens.
I love
Stevenson. No, Ray Stevens one, like, I don't mind that one because right. it just
I'm just
portrays
saying that,
a Punisher.
That
but that,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, not the Netflix. I love that series. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's a John Bernthal stan? Like, what would you call that?
What is it?
A Baron stan?
A Baron stan?
Berenstain Bears?
I don't know. A John Stan.
Berenthaliac.
A Berenthaliac, yeah.
Well, like if you're a fan.
Berenthalic.
A Baron freak.
Ooh.
A Freakenthal.
Freakenthal.
I don't know.
It's like slightly anti-Semitic almost.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Guys, that is a wrap on X-Men The Last Stand. Please subscribe to this podcast because we're going to be going through all of the films. And this is only number three, so you got a whole bunch more. You can get it wherever you find your podcasts, whether it be Spotify or iTunes, under your couch.
The bodega.
The bodega, wherever you buy your podcast.
In New York, you get them at the bodega.
Yeah. Everywhere else, it's a deli. Juan and Jordan, that's it. Thanks.
Yeah. Cool. I'm glad I don't have to watch that again.
The Last Stand, but not The Last Podcast.